It's Jillian Barbary, John Phillips here until 10 o'clock in the morning. I have long said that the smartest man in California politics is Gary South.
You always say that.
I always say it. He's the guy that took Gray Davis when Gray Davis was running for governor.
Yeah. And I like that he makes the politics exciting for me, Randy, because I glaze over. He throws names out. True story. One time I said to John will throw names, and I'm like, who's that? He's like, what?
John is an encyclopedia of California politicians that 90% of people forgot about.
John is like, he's the assemblyman from 1976 to 84 that blah, blah, blah. So one day, I go, hey, you know what? Dave Navarro's coming on. And he goes, who's that? I swear to God. So true. So we are so different. So when he starts, but he does make it exciting for me because even then I don't even feign interest. I go, oh, that's kind of cool. That's really interesting. Go ahead.
You want to know the history of assemblymen from Tulare? Ask John Phillips.
Well, it was a 3-horse race. Uh-huh. And Gray Davis was expected to come in third because he was running against two rich people, Jane Harman and Al Checkey.
And we know that money buys you a lot of things.
That's what they always say.
Yeah.
But money doesn't necessarily buy you Gary South. So Gary South came in and he ran Gray Davis's campaign.
Uh-huh.
And he stunned the world when Gray Davis came from third place and beat the two of them and then became a 2-term governor.
Amazing.
And that was Gary South's work.
That deserves a round of applause
now,
right there. Yeah.
While I maintain he's the smartest person in California politics, he and I don't agree on much.
Oh, is he a Democrat?
Which tells you, I think, more about me.
Is he a Democrat?
Yeah, he is.
Okay. So I'm going to agree more with him then.
You probably will. Gary South, good morning.
Hi, Gary.
Good morning.
Great to have you on the show. Quite an introduction.
That was quite an introduction. I didn't even pay for it.
So, Gary, California has long felt neglected. We always vote later than everyone else. Our primary is historically in June, and the parties decide who the nominee is going to be. But this year, there's a lot of candidates. There may be multiple Californians. So we moved our primary up because we want influence. We want to be courted. And you have a piece saying that's not going to happen.
Well, I wrote the piece because I was receiving a lot of calls from national political reporters asking me if I thought the early California primary next year was a big boon and boost for Kamala Harris, who, as you know, is an announced candidate for president. Now, I'm not predicting how Harris will perform in the California primary, and I haven't endorsed any candidate. I'm certainly not working for her or anyone else. But recent history suggests two things. First, being a homegrown California candidate does not mean you automatically win the California primary. And second, winning an early California primary, even overwhelmingly, does not assure that you win the nomination. I mean, let's go through the facts. The last time a California candidate actually competed in the California primary, he lost. That was Jerry Brown in 1992, who, despite having been elected governor twice, and having been on the 76 and 1980 California Democratic primary ballots, lost his own home state to Bill Clinton 47-40. And Brown carried only 15 of the 58 counties and even lost L.A. County, where he had started his political career, to Clinton by 13 percentage points. And on the second point, the last time a candidate won an early California Democratic primary, she didn't even end up winning the nomination. The 2008 Democratic primary was even earlier than the one next year. It was on February 5th, not in March. And Hillary Clinton won it with over half the vote, 51.5% of the vote, over Barack Obama. But as we all know, she didn't end up winning the nomination in the end. So there's been a lot of hype and spin about the supposed advantage the early primary holds for Harris. But history suggests we should be a little bit skeptical that it will provide a huge rocket boost for her candidacy. And even if she wins it, which itself is no guarantee, it does not necessarily put her on a path to the nomination. Those are just the facts.
No, and I'll tell you this. It's not going to be a 2-horse race like it was in some of those previous contests. You're going to have a lot of people on the ballot, and the earlier you vote, the more names will be on the ballot because, you know, it's still early on in the process. So even if she does win, she'll probably win with a plurality, and she'll split the delegates up in a way where she doesn't walk away from the California primary with an overwhelming majority of delegates.
That's exactly true, John. And remember that there's another candidate in this primary field who was on the primary ballot in California just 4 years ago in 2016, and his name is Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders lost that primary to Hillary Clinton, but he still got 46% of the vote. So Harris has never been on the California primary presidential primary ballot before. Bernie Sanders has. He may not walk away with 46% of the vote, but he's certainly going to be a heavy contender in California. And then if Joe Biden gets in, and we'll see if that happens, you know, Joe Biden has been on California ballots both in 2008 and 2012 in the general election with Barack Obama, and both times that ticket carried California overwhelmingly. So Californians have already voted for Joe Biden twice in a presidential race. And if Beto O'Rourke gets in, he may have very substantial appeal to younger voters. So there's no, you're right. This is not going to be a two-way race. That's what it was in 2008 with Clinton and Obama, and that's what it was by the time it got to California in 2016 with Clinton versus Bernie. This is not going to be a two-way race. Votes will be split potentially a variety of ways. And the other factor to consider is one you alluded to, which is the complex way that California actually awards its Democratic delegates. This is not a winner-take-all state, and it hasn't been for decades. So it doesn't mean that if you get one more vote than every other candidate, you get all the delegates out of California. The primary will determine how 416 of the state's 492 delegates are divvied up, but they're divvied up at two different levels. At one level, they're awarded based upon a proportional allocation of how much of the statewide vote you receive with a 15% threshold. You have to get at least 15% in order to be awarded any delegates. But the remaining, the majority of that total, 272, are divided up among California's 53 congressional districts, and not even evenly, because districts that are blue that are held by Democrats award more delegates than those that are held by Republicans. So it's a very complex formula. All right. Let me give you the way this works. Hillary Clinton beat Bernie Sanders in California in 2016, the last time we had a primary. She got 53% of the vote, well over half the vote. But you know what her net delegate total was over Bernie Sanders after winning the state by 53%?
What?
She got exactly 33 more delegates than Bernie Sanders did.
So that's a wash. So,
It basically is. If you look at the overall number of delegates, you have to win to get the nomination. So, you know, I'm not wishing Kamala Harris ill. I'm just saying that all of his hype about her home state primary being this huge advantage for her simply doesn't hold up when you look at either history or the numbers.
All right. Gary South, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Have yourself a great weekend.
Always good to be with you.
And you can follow Gary on Twitter at Gary South. That's Gary with two R's.